Thank you, Jared. We haven't talked about 3 John in a long time. So let's talk about 3 John. Turn there with me if you would. You know, there's a verse in 3 John 11 is the verse that I'm not sure if we've discussed that verse or not, but it's a very meaningful, very true verse that we should consider in our day and time, just as much as it was for the folks in John's day and time when the letter was originally written. I think we just read 3 John. It's not that long a text. If we read it in its entirety, all 14 verses, then we have the context of what John was talking about when he wrote to the church. John writes in verse 1, "The elder, to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. For I rejoiced greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. Beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren and for strangers who have borne witness of your love before the church. If you send them onward or forward on their journey in a manner worthy of God, you will do well, because they went forth for his name's sake, taking nothing from the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such that we may become fellow workers in the truth. I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have preeminence among them, does not receive us. Therefore, if I come, I will call to mind his deeds which he does, prating against us with malicious words. And not content with that, he himself does not receive the brethren and forbids those who wish to, putting them out of the church. Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. He who does good is of God, but he who does evil has not seen God. Demetrius has a good testimony from all and from the truth itself, and we also bear witness, and you know that our testimony is true. I had many things to write to you, but I do not wish to write to you with pen and ink, but I hope to see you shortly, and we shall speak face to face. Peace to you. Our friends greet you. Greet the friends by name." What a touching, just short letter from one who obviously cared a lot for Gaius. And we run across Gaius at different times. He was a host of Paul at one time. Back in Romans, he's mentioned several times. Or I'll put it this way: there is a Gaius, man named Gaius, mentioned several times. I assume it to be the same man, because he was of the truth in all the texts that mention his name. John's admonition for Gaius is, as I said, just as applicable for us. As it was in his day. There's a song we sing. Speaking again of singing, "It Is Well with My Soul." And it's one of those songs that we sing, and sometimes I wonder if we really pay attention to the words. And we're singing, "It is well with my soul." Is it? Hopefully it is. We're singing in truth. But the admonition that John gave and prayed for Gaius is in verses 1 through 8. He prayed that he might prosper in health, even as his soul prospered, that he might be prosperous in all things as his soul has prospered. So he tells us that Gaius had a righteous soul. Gaius had a soul that had prospered spiritually, no doubt. And I just wonder what would happen if that was seen to become truth just immediately for people. In other words, everybody in the world would automatically, in a flash, be just as prosperous as their spirit or their soul is prosperous. Imagine what would happen. The rich and famous would suddenly become poor and beggarly. Those who have great health and stamina would soon become weakened and sick. On the other hand, those who are weak and sick would become strong and healthy. Those who have nothing would have everything that counts. You see the difference? Sometimes we read a passage like this and we don't make the application to ourselves. What about you tonight? What about if that same flash took place right now? Where would you be? What would you become If you're healthy and wealthy, would you become poor and beggarly because your soul is poor and beggarly? Look at the admonition again. Verse 2. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. That's a strong comment. That's a strong prayer for someone. We ought to pray that for ourselves often. We ought to pray that for our loved ones often, for our friends and neighbors often. Because what that really means is if your soul is not prospering as it is available to prosper, then everything else means nothing. Well, then Jesus has said, what is it, you know, to coin the phrase, or just kind of paraphrase, what big deal is it if you gain all the world and lose your soul? If your soul doesn't prosper, everything else is zero, the big goose egg. Doesn't matter. We have verses in Scripture. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2 talks about a growing baby, that we ought to desire the pure milk of the Word. How is our soul going to grow and prosper if we're not desirous of the pure milk of the Word when we're new Christians? And then grow from that point to be able to rightly divide the Word of truth and be diligent to present ourselves workers not needing to be ashamed before God. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. And what about Hebrews 10 and 25 for those who continually don't come to the assembling of ourselves together? How does our soul prosper if those things are not part of our life? So it's a very deep prayer that John makes on behalf of Gaius. What was it about Gaius, though, that made him prosper so much? We don't know exactly, but we can look into these verses and give us an idea. Look at verse 3. He says, I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified. In other words, some of the brethren from where Gaius was, the congregation he was a part of, the church he was a part of, they had come and I guess talked to John face to face. He said, the brethren came and testified of the truth that's in you. I can just hear it now. Boy, you need to meet Gaius. He is about the truth. The conversation that must have took place. He continues further and he says, just as you walk in the truth. So Gaius's life was about the truth. How do we know that? Well, let's look a little further. Verse 5. You do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren or for strangers. He was about being hospitable, being about other people's affairs. You know, we're admonished in Scripture many times that not to look just out for our own selves, but for the betterment of others. Gaius evidently was about that. He talks about sending them forth and sending them on a journey in a manner worthy of God. He says, you do that, you do well, because they were going forth and not taking anything from the Gentiles. They weren't taking any wherewithal or supplies, but evidently Gaius had been supplying a lot of what these folks needed when they went on their trips, when they went on their journeys for God. John even talks about in verse 8 that we'd do well to be fellow workers in the truth with the such in the likes of Gaius. You know, there was a lot of, if you've been in our Bible classes on Wednesday night and other times, we talk about in that first century, there was a lot of false teaching and heresies that were floating around, even within the body of Christ in that time, no differently than it is today. But Gaius evidently refused to hear those things. He refused to pay attention or you know, buy into the Gnosticism, the false teaching of that day, and was about the truth. You know, some even doubted the deity of Christ back then, same as today. Gaius wasn't buying into that. He was about the truth. The truth was manifest in his life. And I wonder sometimes, would people say the same thing about us? Is someone out there speaking on your behalf, oh, you ought to know, fill in your name, they're about the truth. You know, strong truth in their life, their work and their manners, their taking care of other folks is deep-seated in the truth of God's Word. They're just really strong Christian people. I pray that people say that about us. And if not, we need to examine ourselves. We're admonished in Scripture to examine ourselves. We ought to do that regularly. The people that know us, do they know us as strong Christians like Gaius? Those who take care of others, those who are deep-seated in the truth. And the big admonishment here is found over in verse 11. Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. You know, this country is in a situation now and has grown to this over the last number of years where we're in a habit of calling evil good and good evil. And we imitate the things that we see in the world and we call them good. We imitate things that we see in the world that are good and we call it evil. Somebody speaks up on behalf of a cause, and if it doesn't suit somebody else's purpose, oh, they're just evil. If somebody speaks up on a cause of, you know, I heard, I believe it was Roseanne Barr, when all this deal was going on about, and I don't mean to pick on her, this just came to mind, when all this was going on about the Chick-fil-A thing a couple of weeks ago, and the owner of the company or the manager and the owner, their CEO, whomever it was, stood up for against gay rights and homosexual marriage. Good for him. He stood up for the truth. Finally, somebody was willing to say, no, that's wrong. And I believe it was Roseanne Barr, if I'm not mistaken, that said, well, I hope everybody that eats it at Chick-fil-A on that Wednesday gets cancer. What? And there are people who follow her and think that what she does is good. A lot of folks. Evidently, she's never known anybody that had cancer in her life, or she never could have made that statement if she has a heart at all. And I'm not throwing her against the wall or anything. I'm saying there's just a point to where we get that we call evil good and good evil. It's just flipped and opposite of what the scriptures tell us. He tells Gaius, beloved, do not imitate what is evil. Let's not ever be considered ones who imitate what is evil. He goes on to say, but what is good? Imitate what's good. Imitate the right things. And if we have any doubt whatsoever about what right things and good things are, hopefully you go back to 2 Timothy 2:15 and be diligent to study, to show thyself approved, a workman who need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word. He goes on to say the word of truth. God's word is truth, John 17:17. We need to be seriously, and I don't doubt that everybody in here is about the truth and about good and about seeing things that are evil as evil and good as good. That's just what we do. That's just who we are. We ought to be that to the point that we're ready to stand up against what's evil and what's not just and right. How is your life? Is your life like Gaius? Could you call yourself Gaius? Could you fill in a blank spot where Gaius' name is? To the beloved, your name. And walk in his shoes. Now, we don't know Gaius personally, but like I said, we can tell a lot about him by just this one letter. You've got some other guys to compare Gaius to. You've got generous Gaius, and also you've got, what did I write there? Demeaning Diotrephes, I think is what I put it, because he demeaned everybody else that was standing up for the truth. Then down a little bit later in verse 12, you've got distinguished Demetrius, and Demetrius had a good report. Three guys, one of which was about himself. The other two, obviously, were about others. Let's be like Gaius and Demetrius. Let's be like about the others, putting others before ourselves. And in Philippians chapter 2, last verse of our lesson this evening, Philippians chapter 2, the first few verses tell us how we should be. And this must have described Gaius. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 1. Paul wrote to the church, therefore, if there's any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, and if any affection and mercy. The way the Greek is translated, the word if in those passages could say since. Reading it that way, therefore, since there is any consolation in Christ, since there is comfort of love, since there is fellowship of the Holy Spirit, and since there is affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, by being of the same love, being of one accord, being of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. That, no doubt, was Gaius. Gaius was about looking out for other folks and doing it in a way that his name was recognized and his name was put forward to someone who walked in the truth. He had a good reputation as Demetrius did. That's your lesson. I hope it's beneficial to you. We need to know that there are those who look upon us and either judge us for the good or for the bad. When they judge us, they judge the church. When they judge the church, they judge our Lord. If we claim to be Christians and followers of Christ, let us behave in like manner that we have the reputation of a Gaius. Song's been chosen of tonight for encouragement or for response. Trust and obey. If you have not yet trusted the Lord enough to obey the Lord in baptism, if you have not been baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, understanding about obedience to the gospel and so forth, then this might be a time that you would come and respond. If after your baptism you have maybe gone astray a little bit and your life is not being lived in accordance with God's will for you as a Christian, then you might want to respond. Don't know what's on your heart. You and God know. If you need to make that known to the congregation here, this is a time to do that. While we stand together and while we sing, trust and obey.